Good afternoon, everybody. I think we've now got a reasonable quorum, so we'll begin. My name is Simon Lunn, and I'm a senior fellow at the Geneva Centre for the Democratic Control of Armed Forces, an institute I'm sure most of you are familiar with because it provides assistance to partners, and particularly in the area of security sector reform. I think its activities are reasonably well known, certainly in this country. However, I do not live in Geneva. I actually live in Brussels, where I help the centre in their relations with NATO and with its partnership programme. Of course, my own background is that I was for a time the Secretary General of the NATO Parliamentary Assembly. And in fact, I think I can claim to misquote Dean Acheson to have been there at the creation of these seminars, this seminar program. And I must say it's particularly good to see that this seminar program indeed carries on the tradition that it was created for, which indeed is it was always to bring alliance legislators together to the region, to countries that are aiming to become members of NATO or partners of NATO, and indeed to bring legislators from the region itself together to exchange views and to hopefully build that understanding and confidence and respect for each other, which of course is the basis of partnership. And if I recall very briefly, our association with this country and its parliament, it's a long one as you heard this morning, but in the mid-90s we indeed held a series of these seminars at Lake Ochrid, very much the initiative of Nana Rujin, who will be with us, has been with us today, will be with us again tomorrow. But again, that series of seminars, 96, 97, 98, allowed members of parliament to see at first hand the developments in the region, which of course at that time were at a particularly crucial stage, given of course the situation, particularly in Kosovo, and its consequences and implications. But it also allowed us to see very clearly the effect on this country of those developments. And if I remember one aspect of that period, which was of course the very serious economic effect on this country of those developments. But that of course was then, and now we are at a different period and we're at a different phase. And the object of this afternoon's session is very much to look in greater detail at some of the things were already put on the table and discussed this morning, and to look at the achievements, the progress that has been made here, but also to look at some of the challenges that this country and this region still faces. And for that, the Assembly have gathered together, I think, what is going to be a very, very constructive, positive, and I hope entertaining panel. And I will introduce the panelists in due course, but we're going to start our work with the presentation by the Vice Prime Minister Ademi. And again, you have his biography in front of you, and I will only point out that he was a Member of Parliament for the Democratic Union for Integration Party from 2002 to 2006, and he is currently serving as Vice Prime Minister for the implementation of the Ochrid Framework Agreement. After his presentation, we will take questions and answers and a brief discussion period before breaking for coffee and then resuming with the other three contributions after the coffee break. Mr. Vice Prime Minister, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Falënderit zoti kryesues. Excellenza juaj, të nderuar.
Thank you. Respected representatives of the embassies, MPs, respected participants, first let me express my personal satisfaction that in the capital of our country is organized such an important event, and that I have the opportunity to talk in front of you about the importance of building a multi-ethnic society, and the opportunity to convey my country's experience in this regard. Since its independence, Macedonia has passed 20 years. This period can be divided into two semi-periods, one from 1990 up to 2001, and the second from 2001 until today. The year 2001 was the year of signing the Ohrid Framework Agreement. The reason why I divide this 20-year period into two semi-periods is that in the first period, after Macedonian independence, Macedonia functioned as a fragile democracy, with the exception of the people who lived with the decision-making process. Albanians boycotted the referendum of independence, while the Albanian MPs did not vote for the constitution of independent Macedonia, and they considered that the constitution is a crisis generator. They were also overvoted in the parliament. Albanian demands for equality education in their native language were met by deaf ears and hardly realized. The initiative was suffocated and very often ended with violence by state institutions and with victims. In other words, this period was full of ethnic tensions. In 2001, in Macedonia, there was a conflict which was described by the international institutions as a conflict between the Macedonian security forces and armed groups of ethnic Albanians. This conflict was mainly concentrated in the northwestern part of the country, so where Albanians live. Fortunately, it did not last long and did not take the magnitude of the wars in Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Kosovo. This conflict ended with a peace agreement signed by the head of the state, the leaders of the four largest political parties at the time, and the EU and US representatives. So this agreement is known as the Ohrid Framework Agreement. It is exactly the mediation of EU and US to facilitate dialogue and the implementation of the Ohrid Agreement. Meanwhile, NATO also gave its contribution by managing the situation and by demobilizing the members of the National Liberation Army. In its core principles, in the core principles of the Ohrid Framework Agreement, it is said unconditional rejection of the use of violence in order to achieve political goals. Only peaceful political solution can assure a stable and democratic future of Macedonia. The sovereignty and territorial integrity of Macedonia and its unitary character are inviolable and must be preserved. There are no territorial solutions to ethnic problems. The multi-ethnic character of Macedonian society must be preserved and reflected in public life. A modern democratic state in the natural course of its development and maturation must continually ensure that its constitution fully meets the needs of all its citizens in accordance with highest international standards, as well as to continue evolve. The development of local government is essential for encouraging citizen participation in the democratic life and for promoting respect for the identity of the different communities. The Ohrid Framework Agreement is a document that guarantees the building of a multi-ethnic society. It's a document built on consensual democracy, decision-making, which is known as bilateral voting in our country, in our parliament, and the municipal councils for the areas that directly affect culture, use of language, education, personal documents and the use of symbols, as well as the laws on local finances, local elections, on the city of Skopje and municipal borders. This decision functions both in the parliament and in the municipality councils. With this Ohrid agreement, within the parliament, a special body was established. It's a constitutional category. It is establishes the Committee for Inter-Ethnic Relations, and the members are members of parliament. There are 7 Macedonians, seven Albanians, and one representative of the Turks, Roma, Serbs, Aromanians, and Bosnians. On the local level, there are commissions for inter-community relations. An important pillar of the Ohrid framework agreement is the fair representation of members of ethnic communities that live in Macedonia. It's a process that has some progress, but still there is a work to do. The spirit and philosophy of fair representation is that communities who live here can exercise their rights through the institutions and be active participants in the policy making. This is possible only if they are represented in all institutions and all levels. The objective of this fair representation is to increase the trust in the state institutions. It also aims to create or make citizens with responsibility and liabilities. The decentralization as a process is a condition for Macedonia's EU integration. It is one of the pillars of the Ohrid Agreement. It's an important process because through decentralization, the individual and collective ethnic rights can be exercised. The agreement is a good basis for further developing the use of official language that is spoken by over 20% of the citizens. There are still some things that do not have an institutional solutions, like the institutional treatment of the KLA members and the amnesty of conflict participants. Finding proper solutions for these issues would have had positive influence on the inter-ethnic relations in the country. Respected participants, the Ohrid Framework Agreement is a unique and specific model with a main tendency to solve problems through dialogue and of avoidance of violence. This agreement not only put an end to the conflict in 2001, it stabilized Macedonia and helped in its integration process. It made Macedonia a democratic state with functional institutions, with consensual democracy and multi-ethnic society, and equal citizens. The events in 2001, and particularly the adoption of by consensus of the Ohrid Frame Agreement, is a moment of very important of huge importance for Macedonia. These moments show that the leadership of that period learned the lessons from the first period after the independence of Macedonia. NATO's contribution to the region was also very significant. In interventions in the region managed to stop separation and bloodshed. NATO in Macedonia had a tremendous contribution for the implementation of Ohrid Framework Agreement. So this 20 years period taught us how important it is to manage the ethnic relations, to respect ethnic, cultural, and religious diversity. We learned that a multi-ethnic society is the greatest asset that a country can have. The European Union is built on the core pillar of the respect of cultural diversity. The same objective is a part of the Ohrid Agreement, to build Macedonia which respects cultural diversity. The accession of Macedonia to NATO is very important, as is also the start of EU accession negotiation. Membership will primarily provide internal stability, better inter-ethnic relations, better business climate, and overall social welfare. As you could note, in my speech I focused briefly on the first semi-period because I think that it is part of the past, and spoke mainly about the second part of independent Macedonia, because it is a period of construction of European Macedonia. I wish you successful work, pleasant stay in our country, and I'd like to encourage you to continue supporting Macedonia in its path to NATO and EU membership. Finally, I'd like to inform you that my participants here is limited because we have a meeting with the President of the EU Council, Mr. Rompuy. So again, I wish you pleasant work. Thank you.
Now the floor is open for people from the floor to make comments or to put questions to the Vice Prime Minister. So.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Vice President. In the framework agreement, there were also clauses about decentralization of administration. Could you elaborate a little bit? Did you reach the objective of the agreement or not? Thank you. And other things, the employment of ethnic groups in the government employment up to the rate of their population. What is the situation now, the employment of different ethnic groups in government offices? So can you give a little bit information also on these things? Thank you very much.
Faleminderit për pyetjen. Janë pyetjet.
In my speech. Okay. Thank you for your questions. These are questions of two important parts of the Ohrid Frame Agreement, two of the three central pillars, the decentralization process and the equitable representation. And in my exposé, I mentioned several things, and I will try to give you, to belabor on this point. So the decentralization of government is part of the pillars of the Ohrid frame agreement, but it is one of the conditions that Macedonia has to fulfill to become EU member. In our country, the decentralization commenced right after the adoption of the framework agreement, with the adoption of the law of local self-government, and then the adoption of the law on financing municipalities, then the law of regional equal development. What is important is to emphasize that the decentralization process, as defined in the Ohrid Frame Agreement, means exercising ethnic rights and achieving a balance to have a process which will be closer to the citizens and will offer better services. I myself was engaged in the implementation of the Ohrid Frame Agreement. I visited many municipalities especially those of mixed ethnic composition, to find out how the agreement is implemented at a local level, because every institution, either central or from the central legislative government, has the obligation to implement the Ohrid frame agreement. In some municipalities it is implemented faster, in some slower. So it is a process which has already started and has to continue. We have to evaluate what we have already achieved, but I have to emphasize that it is a process which has to continue. And I cannot say that we've achieved everything which was planned to be achieved, because experts still think that Macedonia is the country with the greatest budget concentration. So the municipal committees on inter-ethnic relations are very important. They've been established according to the Ohrid frame agreement. They are functional almost in all municipalities, but they're not always aware of their roles and obligations. So we as the government keep continual contact with the committees, both in the parliament and in the municipality, so that they could serve well. Regarding equitable representation, this is also one of the pillars of the Ohrid agreement. And in this process, we have achieved quite a lot. We have progress. But it is also a process that needs to continue in several areas. In some areas, the representation is not sufficient. Sometimes because there are no qualified staff, but it's not only a matter of statistics or numbers. It's more an opportunity for the members of ethnic communities in Macedonia to take responsibilities, not only to have privileges. Thus, they could influence directly in policy creation in the institutions. And the state policies overall, I hope I gave you an explanation that will satisfy your expectations. Your question. Thank you.
Angel.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Minister, for your interesting explanation of the Ohrid Framework Agreement. You said that there are still some problems, and in the answer to the question of my Turkish friend, we heard about a few of these problems. I would like to know, could you explain us maybe or deepen the major problems in the implementation of the agreement, and tell us why a solution is not easy and how your government is trying to find a solution? What is the intention of the government to find a solution? And maybe a last question, which resumes my other questions. How long do you think your country will need a ministry for the implementation of the Ohrid Framework Agreement? When will it be normal that you don't need a special ministry for this? Thank you.
The greatest problem so far that has always accompanied the implementation of Ohrid was the way this agreement was approached. I have to point out that the approach or the attitude towards this agreement depends on ethnicity or the institutions. I think this is one of the key problems regarding the implementation of the Ohrid Framework Agreement. This approach changes depending on whether a party is in power or in opposition. And I think this is also detrimental to the process. I think we're gradually changing this kind of approach, and the latest surveys we have had as a government and as a secretariat for the implementation of Ohrid, the citizens of the Republic of Macedonia are supporting in this agreement and are not divided along ethnic lines. This leads me to believe that the process of implementation of the Ohrid Framework Agreement has been understood seriously by the citizens, by the institutions, and by the political parties. The challenges, I mentioned two main ones. Regarding the Ohrid Framework Agreement, for which solutions have not been found yet. One such challenge is amnesty for all those who took part in the conflict, regardless of ethnicity. I mean, in general, those who took part in the conflict in 2001. The courts in Macedonia have opened cases against members of the NLA and leadership of the NLA, which we think is creating tension in the Republic of Macedonia. And there are different interpretations in this regard. The law has to be found within the law on amnesty. The second challenge is the families and how the persons who took part in the conflicts are being treated. We deem that this can be resolved in an institutional manner and that we have to debate about this issue also on round tables such as this, a seminar such as this, and in other fora. All pillars of the Ohrid Framework Agreements are a challenge for the Republic of Macedonia, and in this respect, I cannot tell you with certainty when we will stop needing an institution that will be in charge of the implementation of the Ohrid Agreement and will continue to coordinate the activities that are related to it. Most of the amendments have been transposed into constitutional provisions, but we need to establish the spirit of Ohrid within the society. And we have to emphasize further the issue of implementation of Ohrid because this is important for the country.
Thank you. I am Dusan Relic from the German Institute for International Affairs and Security in Berlin. Mr. Ademi, is the Ohrid Agreement the end of creating an environment for the ethnic communities in Macedonia? Or could you envisage that this process could continue and take new shapes? Perhaps territorial autonomy would be a better form of organizing. Shall I repeat it?
Could you start again?
Yes.
Right, could you start again slowly and we'll try and make sure that it's coming through.
Okay. Second take. I'm Dusan Relic from the German Institute for International Affairs and Security in Berlin.
Yep.
Okay. And my question to Mr. Ademi was whether the Ohrid agreements are the end of the reorganization of the inter-ethnic relations in Macedonia, or whether he could envisage further developments, maybe leading to the creation of territorial autonomies as well. Thank you. Or other forms.
Fanderi, tu mendoj që kjo pyetje është më tepër pyetje politike.
Thank you. I think this is a question that cannot be resolved within the text of Ohrid. I remember the discussions which took part in the public regarding the text of the Ohrid Framework Agreement. We have direct participants in that process here who worked on the preparation of the Ohrid Agreement. And there were fears at that time of the creation of some sort of territorial autonomy or other systems of forms of organization of Macedonia. I think at this time it's more important to focus on the implementation on the letter and the spirit of the Ohrid Agreement. There are no fears currently in Macedonia about territorial autonomy or on ethnic or other basis. If in 2001 we debated the law on cooperation between the municipalities, for example, at that time that would have been interpreted as an attempt on the municipalities to establish some sort of autonomy. But when later on we are talking about cooperation among municipalities, now this is no longer interpreted as an issue raised by politicians or NGOs or other segments of society as dangerous. This is why I think that with the implementation of Ohrid, we have overcome many dilemmas which existed at that time, and we are now therefore focused on implementing further the achievements of Ohrid, and this has the support of the political bodies, of institutions, and the signatories of the agreement at the time, domestic and international. We are confident that this support will endure. Every and all documents that are prepared regarding the progress made by the Republic of Macedonia, the implementation of Ohrid is always assessed. And always we hear encouragement for further efforts aimed towards its further implementation.
Question. And my question was whether you think that the Ohrid Agreement is the final framework for establishing inter-ethnic relations in Macedonia, or do you believe that it could become too narrow and that it would need a broader, a different framework? This was my question.
This is exactly what I assessed as a political question. At this moment, I cannot give you an answer to this question because I'm attending a NATO conference. I'm a representative of the institution and the body which coordinates the implementation of Ohrid. We are engaged in implementing the letter and the spirit of the Ohrid Agreement. And for this, we request support, domestic and international. International present in Skopje or other institutions such as NATO. This is a framework which we have not fully completed. There is still lots of room for us to intervene, act to act within it.
Moderator, I could take the opportunity to put two questions at different levels, really. I remember from my previous experience here that there was always a degree of unhappiness about the balance of the major security institutions, notably the army and the police, and I wonder if you could inform us to what degree progress has been made in those particular organizations to getting a more relevant balance. And secondly, at another level, to what degree does your educational system
tackle this particular problem, because if we look at other areas and indeed our own experiences, wherever, whichever communities we happen to live in, education obviously is extraordinarily important in forming the attitude of future generations. And I wonder to what degree you still feel that progress needs to be made to enable you to reach the sort of goals that you're striving for through the Ohrid Agreement. Thank you.
Immediately after the signing of Ohrid in 2001, the greatest assistance that Macedonia received from the EU and the US and NATO was exactly the sector of security. Police and the armed forces. At that time, it was felt, and I believe rightly so, that these two sectors are the most sensitive sectors, and this is where progress should be made with great speed. And we have had progress there in terms of equitable representation and training in general. We passed also a strategy which is part of the overall security strategy, the equitable representation in both sectors was at that time well realized, and we're continuing to move forward in this direction, both in the police and in the armed forces. The law on the police was, the new law on the police was passed, and we have new competencies for the municipalities, which now appoint the head of sectors of the police in that area, but that is always done in coordination with the central authorities. And in terms of the armed forces, the general chiefs of staff has members from among various ethnic communities. Due to the specific nature and characteristics of this sector, the numbers are not up to par. Notwithstanding, on the lower echelons, this number is growing still. The spirit of equitable representation is to increase the trust towards the institutions, which includes the armed forces. Since 2001, this has been the case because of equitable representation and because of the reforms which have been made in this area. In terms of education, I think this is the most important area influencing integration within, but also in building the awareness of the population as a whole. Basic, elementary, and secondary education progress has been made, certainly. And all students from various ethnic communities can go to school and study in their native language. This is guaranteed by the state. Elementary and secondary education is mandatory for all. After the signing of Ohrid, the Albanians also have got now a university in the Albanian language financed by the state budget. This is the University of Tetovo, which for 10 years functioned outside the educational system of the Republic of Macedonia. Progress has been made in all areas, all levels of education, but we still face challenges in this respect. By using the right to learn in their native language, students from various ethnic communities very rarely meet and very rarely interact and get to know each other, which in turn creates prejudice, bias about the others, and divisions among the young people in our country. Seeing this as a challenge, with the support of the OSCE and other institutions present in Macedonia, international institutions, we started to adopt the strategy for integrated education with five basic pillars, which impact the development of integrated education. I'm confident that this strategy will be embraced by everyone in Macedonia because this strategy is the result of a one-year-long debate within schools and other institutions. And with this strategy, both students, parents, and teachers have a greater role in the decision-making in the educational process. And this is one of the major challenges facing us in terms of education. It is a very sensitive area, and thus our approach is a very serious one. We are trying to be inclusive, to include everyone in the process in order to achieve ownership of the strategy. The goal being all students of, notwithstanding their ethnic affiliation, receive equal opportunities.
Prime Minister, I would have a question for you in terms of how do you see Macedonia's role in sharing its experience with other countries in the region in particular in terms of building multi-ethnic institutions? And in particular, looking back at the OHRID process over these past 9 years, what would be for you the lessons learned about what has worked and what hasn't worked and what lessons could be applied to others?
Thank you for your question and for your interest regarding the OHRID framework agreement and inter-ethnic relations in Macedonia. In my presentation, it was not by chance that I divided the 20 years independence of Macedonia in two parts. The first 10 years were a little bit more problematic for Macedonia, and I think that the OHRID framework agreement is a model which is successfully implemented in Macedonia. Especially its segment of decentralization has been also applied in Kosovo. Experts on decentralization believe that this is a good model for multi-ethnic societies, and as such can be applied in other countries. The lessons which Macedonia has learned in building a multi-ethnic society are lessons which should be acquired by others. And we should be sharing our experience with others, especially with the countries with which we once shared a common country of Yugoslavia. I don't know to what extent this can be applied in other countries, but I think parts of the OHRID agreement can indeed be implemented, such as decentralization, as I mentioned, and decision-making both in parliaments and in local government, because this allows for and creates room for everyone to be consulted and for everyone to be included in the process of decision making when adopting laws or other decisions. So again, this is not only participation in the decision-making process, but taking ownership of these decisions and thus responsibilities for their implementation. Thank you.
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur le Monsieur Ademi, j'aimerais.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to put a question to you, Mr. Ademi. The Ohrid Agreement, has the agreement strengthen the cement between the different ethnic communities? Has it brought people together more than it did in the past? These two groups, do you think that there's a clear-cut willingness on the part of these two groups to live together, side by side? You've changed the Constitution. Do you think that you are going to be successful in changing the minds of the people of these groups? As far as I know, and I have been told, these two groups are not willing to live side by side together. Is this true or not? Do you think that you will be able to change that in future on both sides?
Ten years after the signing of Ohrid, we'll show you the different state of affairs from 2001 and the present. Everyone can note that Macedonia is now a more democratic state with a functional democracy, functional institutions. We are a more stable country. And the relationship between the ethnic groups has improved. They're much closer together now. The key problem regarding Ohrid is something I mentioned earlier, how it was approached and how it was perceived at one time. In 2001, the Macedonians had perhaps the impression that this agreement will serve to enhance only the rights of the Albanians and the other smaller ethnic communities. It was perceived by the Macedonians as having something being taken away from them, such as employment, the use of languages, decentralization, and so forth. With time, I think these views have changed. The Ohrid Agreement is no longer seen as something favoring only the Albanians and other ethnic communities, but it's an agreement favoring the whole country. In 2005, this was confirmed because Macedonia achieved the status of candidate country. At that time, it was assessed that Macedonia is successfully implementing the Ohrid Agreement, and Macedonia was encouraged, its government and other institutions were encouraged to continue implementing it. Thus, everybody, all citizens, understood that this was an agreement not only for one ethnic community, but for the good of the country. And I would say for the benefit of the region, because a country can positively influence the whole region. I emphasized previously also the importance of education. And we know that division can be created within the educational system. So we have undertaken measures to try to bring closer together the ethnic communities. This is done by specific steps and measures which will allow us to avoid division through the educational system and will allow us to create a multi-ethnic state whereby everyone will feel equal, not only in terms of what the state can do for them, but what they can do for the state.
I have a meeting to go to, and I want to thank you on behalf of the conference for your presentation and also your extremely thoughtful replies to the questions that were put to you, and I think it provided us with a particularly valuable insight from the government's perspective of the situation, and I think it provides a very good springboard for the next session when we will have other perspectives brought to bear on this. But I'd like to thank you now on behalf of the conference in the normal way. So thank you very much indeed. And indeed, we wish you the best of luck for your future work. We will now take a 15-minute break. Please, everybody, back in 15 minutes' time, without fail, for the next panel. Thank you very much.